Merry Christmas. So what is Christmas? We just celebrated it, and I think probably some people have sugar highs this morning, so they're not here. But what is actually Christmas, and what does Christmas tell us about God? N.T. Wright, he says this. He says, our entire culture simply does not want to know about a God who does something new. Christmas as nostalgia, that's fine. It's part of an old world that makes us feel at home. Christmas as a shopping bonanza, he says, that's fine too. But again, we have subsumed the message back into the old world of getting and spending. Christmas is family time? Well, that's okay. Though now it's routine to sneer at that too. Perhaps because families, warts and all, can actually be a sign of God's grace and new life. How true is that, huh? But Christmas as the living God doing something new under the nose of Herod, doing something new within the womb of Mary, and even shock, horror, doing something new within our own hearts and lives, that is so threatening that it's best, so our entire culture thinks, to sneer at the very mention. I think he's right. It's N.T. right. So if God actually is doing something new, then that kind of begs of a response for us. And I want to say that we must prepare ourselves for the birth of something new. If God wants to do something new, then we need to prepare. Because Jesus' birth is so significant, not just because it happened one day in the past, but because God wants to be born new within us today. He wants to be born fresh in us today and the next day, so that we will reveal him to a lost and hurting world. So we've been in this sermon series called The Promise, and we're looking at the promises that are given to us through the birth of Christ. And today we want to look at the promise of love as we close out this series. And I want to we've read several of these passages over and over again, but I'm going to unapologetically read them again. So there's this promise from old. It's in the Old Testament. Isaiah said this. Isaiah 7:14, he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. So there's a picture. So when this sign happens, we know that God is doing this new thing. And he says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So there was to be this sign, this reminder. And I think we need to go back over and over again, because I think we have a tendency to say God has forgotten us. Or God, why have you left me alone in this area of my life? And so this sign reminds the people that God had not forgotten them. He had not forgotten. He didn't leave them in their broken and sinful state. Instead, he says, when you see the virgin give birth, you know that God's tangible love has come, and that God would come into the world and God will rescue. And I think this is an instruction to be prepared. How do we prepare for Christ to work in our lives? Well, we live with expectancy. I think sometimes we forget that, because sometimes we look and we go, there's no way I can do this. This is too hard. This is too big. We need to live with that expectancy. Like, yes, it is too hard. Yes, it is too big. But God, if you show up, if you show up, God, we're okay. And so what do? We live with expectancy. We need to make space in our lives. Sometimes, you know, when you go to the buffet, and Paul said buffet your body. You know, sometimes we fill up our plates with all the stuff we don't need rather than the stuff we need. And so I think spiritually we need to do that. We need to make room. We need to make room for Christ in our life. We need to make room for God to actually work in our lives. And the Christmas story reminds us in the middle of the mess. It's not like God's like, okay, everything's kind of working out. You know, everything's kind of cleaned up here. Things are good. I think I'm going to come right now. This would be a good time. No, he doesn't wait for that because it wasn't coming. He comes right in the middle of the mess because of his love. And the book of Luke really captures this birth narrative. And it begins with an angel called Gabriel speaking to a young teenage girl named Mary. I just love how God works things out, because I would have came up with so many better plans, at least in my mind. I mean, I would have picked some better disciples. You know, I don't know that I would have picked a young teenage girl. You know, I might have, you know, hey, Elizabeth, let's have Elizabeth, you know, give birth. You know, this older, mature woman, she's strong in her faith. But no, God knows better than I do, so he picks this young teenage girl. Luke tells us this. Luke chapter 1, if you want to follow along, I'm going to start at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and it will be up on the screens. It already is, wow. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came and said to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." How would you like that if you're Mary? You know, you're just going about your life. "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." You know, start looking around. Who are you talking to? But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God." I'm glad he told her not to be afraid before he says, "Don't be afraid. Now I'm going to tell you, you're going to give birth to the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot for anybody. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot for a teenage girl, which tells us something else. When God shows up, our lives are disrupted. Okay? When God shows up, our lives are disrupted. If you're experiencing some kind of disruption in your life, you may say, "Okay, God, is this you? What are you doing?" Because when you show up, lives are disrupted. And Mary's life is going to take a turn here. I mean, I'm just thinking, as this young teenage girl, as far as she knows, she's going to marry this nice Jewish man named Joseph, and things are going to be fine. And all of a sudden, she's told, "You are chosen to give birth to the Savior of the world. You are going to raise the Messiah. No pressure. Everything's good." This is a disruption. Would everybody agree that that's kind of a disruption? You know, she thought her life was going along this way, and God steps in and says, "I've got a plan for you," and it's a plan that I've had for centuries and centuries. Now Joseph here, you know, your Joseph, your fiance becomes pregnant. Joseph isn't stupid. Joseph understands how people become pregnant. How do you explain this to your friends? How do you explain this to your family? How do you have a conversation with Mary as to what's going on here? This is a disruption, right? Any guy in here, you'd say, "This is a disruption in my life." Think about the political powers of the day. King Herod, King Caesar, for this baby to come into the world, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that means something. If you claim to be king, old kings are gone. Old kingdom, that's all changing. This is a disruption to Caesar. This is a disruption to Herod. They didn't handle it very well, by the way. And this disruption comes because a promise of God that he was going to love his people, that he was going to step in the midst, that he was going to dwell amongst his people through this humble young girl. That's Emmanuel. God is with us. You may be going through the fire, but he's there with you in the fire. And we have a couple choices. God always gives us choices here. So this disruption comes into our lives. We can do one of two things. We can avoid it, or we can embrace it, right? That's kind of, you know, either, I don't have time for this. This is not my plan. This is not what I signed up for. I've said that to God before. God, this is not what I signed up for. Oh, you should keep reading. This is exactly what you signed up for. And I believe that when God's trying to birth something new within us, it almost always feels, at least at first, confusing. Or at times, it's something hard. I remember thinking before we church that we were church planting that this was going to be the hardest thing I ever did. And I go back and I think, I wish it was as easy as I thought it was going to be, even though I knew it was going to be hard. When God brings in this disruption, sometimes it's something exciting. Or sometimes it's something uncontrollable. Do you have that in your life where there's things that are in your life and you're saying, I have no control over this? Well, when this happens, what do you do? Do you avoid, you know, when you pray through and you go, okay, God, you're doing something here. I have a choice here. I'm going to embrace this or I'm going to avoid this. Maybe this morning you came to church and you're wrestling with a disruption in your life. You don't have to raise your hand, but probably most of us have some kind of disruption going on in our lives. And this may be God's grace. This may be God's love bringing something new into your life. Remember, this was a disruption for everybody in the Christmas story. And I think maybe sometimes we've spent years avoiding God's disruption, avoiding what God's been trying to do in our lives. And my prayer this morning is that we would be people that would embrace. We would come to the place, and I could tell you I've wrestled through this with so many things in my life where I've just said, okay, God, if this is what you have, this is where I'm going. I'd rather pursue you than run from you. And I've got lots of regrets in my life. I can't think of a time where I said, man, I wish I didn't obey God right there. I don't have any of those. And so like Mary and Joseph in this story, God wants to do something in our lives that could quite possibly change the world. Doesn't that sound strange? That God may want to do something in my life. God may want to be doing something in your life that quite possibly changes the course of the world. Or at least changes one person's life. You know, it's kind of like the guy throwing the starfish back in the ocean. And somebody's like, does it really matter? I mean, does that really make a difference? And he says, it does for that one. It does for that one. And so what are we going to do for that one? It really boils down to how we respond, right? How do we respond to God's disruption in our life? Look what Mary does. It says in Luke 1, verse 34, it says, and Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I think sometimes I know sometimes people dismiss the story. They go, wow, this is back in, you know, older days and they didn't have scientific understanding. Hey, these people raised animals. They know how pregnancy works, okay? She says, how can this be? She says, I'm a virgin. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Let me repeat verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. And I think Mary asked a fair question. I mean, most of you ladies, would that not be your first question? You're saying, hey, I know how this works, and I'm a virgin. How am I supposed to do this? And you know what? I think sometimes we go, okay, how is God naturally going to do this? How is this going to play out? And God's not confined by our rules. God's not confined by this. In her mind, there cannot be a new birth because it doesn't seem humanly possible. How many of you have been in that situation where you're like, I don't see a possibility of this working out well? And you know what? She was right. It's not humanly possible. There was no way, strictly humanly possible, that this was going to work. And this is a work of God. And you know what? I would suggest that probably all of us here, we have new birth excuses. We have new birth excuses, and I want to downplay them. Maybe your excuses are legitimate. Maybe you've said things like these. There's no way God can save my marriage. It's too far gone. I've had people sit in my office tell me that there's no way. The best was this couple. The lady said we can't agree on anything, and the guy said that's not true. Do you know how hard it was to not just start laughing right there? I'm like, they really can't agree on anything. Lord, we need a supernatural work here. Maybe you've said this one. There's no way God could love me. I've made too many mistakes. Man. You know, or maybe I can't get out of this debt, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, your whatever your thing is, where you're saying God can't do in this area. And sometimes I want to suggest, you know, because I've been in those counseling situations where I'm like, God, this is a mess. There's no, these people are talking to me like I'm going to solve their problem here. And I cannot do this. And there's times where I've seen God show up and I said, wow. That actually worked out. That's you, God, because I had no clue. I had no hope to offer them but Jesus Christ. And so what Mary does is she turns to God, and the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That would be a really good one, right? Think of whatever situation you have. And God says to you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Like, okay, yeah, I want that. That's what I want. Scrap any idea that I had. I want that one. And he is essentially saying, hey, Mary, listen up. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And we gotta take those excuses, no matter how valid they are, and say, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. Because what's impossible with me is possible through you. And the angels, this birth, it changed the world 2,000 years ago. And this birth is still changing the world today, because the same Spirit of God that worked in Mary's life is the same God that is working in our lives today. It is the same Holy Spirit. And that same God wants to birth something new in you today. And guess what? It's not about our ability, right? It's not about our effort. It's not about our qualifications, your gender, your track record, your status, any of those things. It's about God working in our lives. And our part is to allow God to work in that disruption. Allow him to work through us. Listen to Mary's response to this promise, to this fulfilled promise. Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. and the angel departed from her. What's her response? Her response is surrender, right? It's saying, okay, God, I'm open to whatever you have. I had this plan, but I am open to what you have. And here's the thing. There's a lot more to be revealed to Mary, right? I'm guessing she really didn't know what she was getting into. She had some clues, but in the middle of that, it's like, okay, God, I don't know where this is going, but may your word to me be fulfilled. Final point here is when we submit to God, his promises can be fulfilled in and through us. Now, let's take this through. What if we took this kind of posture of God, okay, let it be fulfilled in me. What if we did that the rest of this Christmas season and into the new year? How would our lives be different? Author and pastor Max Lucado said this. He said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent a savior. Our greatest need is the love and the grace of God. Our greatest need was God to come into a broken and sinful world. And so Mary, she's willing to take on this disruption and give birth to what we need, a savior. So here's another question. What if we chose to take this beyond the Christmas season? How might God be working some kind of new birth in your life right now? Because this message, this message is that God is ushering a new kingdom in, the kingdom of the heavens. All right, we think of Christmas as this cute little story, this little baby in the manger. No, it's an invasion. It's an invasion of heaven into earth. And this kingdom that has come, is coming, and will come to its fullness is unlike any other kingdom that we know, that we have experienced. In fact, this kingdom turns the world on its head. Changes everything we understood about a kingdom. And this kingdom is about healing the broken and rescuing the lost. And in this kingdom, love is the norm, which is strange, right? I mean, how many kingdoms do you know? Like Caesar's like, okay, what's going to be central in my kingdom is love. No, that's not how it worked. And Jesus says, it's central of my kingdom is going to be love. And this becomes a reality. It becomes a reality when you and I receive the love of Christ that he has poured out for us. And then we take that and we offer that out to the world. We offer that out to a broken and lost world. And I've said this before. I believe just the people in here, we could literally, through the power of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, we could transform our community. We could transform our community by loving people and sharing the hope of the gospel. And sometimes it just starts out with small things. Maybe the disruption is God saying, hey, you know those people that live next door and you don't know their name? Introduce yourself and invite that family over, or find out what need they have. You know, what are the needs in our community and how can we meet those needs? And maybe the new thing that God wants to do in your life is starting a new family tradition of saying, we're going to put Jesus first. Jesus is going to be first in our lives. And this begins when we believe the good news that Jesus' birth is more than a historical fact. We believe that his presence and his promise are with us in this moment. And our lives become changed. And we make an internal, God makes an internal impact. and we can make an eternal impact by sharing love and the hope of the gospel. And so my prayer for this new year is that we would be like Mary, and we would say, may your word be fulfilled in me. Do whatever you want, God. You gave your life for me on that cross. And I will follow you. I will welcome the disruption. Do what you want with me. Do what you want with our church. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for expressing your love toward the world, towards us, at the arrival of Jesus. Thank you that you came to seek and save the lost. You came to restore. You came to heal. You came to give us life. And Lord, I pray that we would just be conduits of your love. We'd be conduits of the life that you give us. We would be conduits out into a world that is far from you. And Father, make us extensions of your grace and your mercy. Might we say, may it be done unto us according to your will. We pray, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.